Tell us exactly what time it is when we start.
Okay, when do we start?
Listen, the program is going to begin in about 5 minutes.
That's way too long.
Way too long. You stretching it out for your
man. I'm not stretching it out.
How long do I have to wait?
How long do we wait?
As long as it takes.
Wait for it.
And wait for the show to begin.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your viewing pleasure, please welcome...
The River Network presents Dimitri live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5, 1290, 100.1, 1430, and 100.9. Time to get your morning up to speed with Dimitri live and dangerously local, a River Network production.
Everybody here ain't from here, but we're here doing our thing.
Incredible show for you today. I say that every day only because it's true. We've got two very special guests here in studio from the northern panhandle of West Virginia, and they want to tell you about what is going on with so many of the people here in our area getting ripped off by the gas and oil people and by the people at the state capitol, the politicians. We've got here in studio John Leonetti. John has been a regular guest here. Well, not a regular guest, but a steady guest over the past few years with the Nate Kane campaign. God bless Nate Kane. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man. And he has been leading the charge here along with Scott. And now we have also here in studio Brian Corwin. Brian Corwin, seventh generation farmer, Brook County, West Virginia, raises beef and dairy and crops, spent the past 15 years exposed to the world of oil and gas, witnessing and dealing with its impact in the northern panhandle of West Virginia. These two people are crusaders along with Scott Sonda, and they said, hey, we got some information we want to tell everybody here in the tri-state area, especially West Virginia citizens, about this. Because we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. It has the feel sort of kind of like Landman, if you've been ever watching any of those episodes. Anyway, so our two special guests, John Leonetti and Brian Corwin, welcome to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. How you doing, guys?
Doing really good. Good morning, Dimitri.
Thank you, John.
Very well. Thank you for having us.
So sure. So give us an overview here of why you are here this morning. Great big picture, thumbnail. And then we can start going into the details.
Well, we're here at this point right now because we're at a nexus point with mineral owners. And when I say mineral owners in the state of West Virginia, it affects basically every single West Virginian, you know, because a lot of that money trickles in to the general fund. And of course, it's distributed out to all the different counties. So where we're at this point is we want to get attention to mineral owners in this in West Virginia right now, because there's a bill, and right now it's Bill SB 1005, and the lead sponsor in this on that bill is a very courageous Senator Tom Willis, who's willing to basically put his name out there on this bill on behalf of West Virginia mineral owners. And I really just want the mineral owners to understand that we have a very unique and a very small window of an opportunity here. This bill will go to the Judiciary Committee next Monday. And what we want is we want people to call in to Tom Willis's office and also Randy Smith's office, who happens to be the president of the Senate. And Senator Willis is also the Judiciary Chair. Now, see, let me just backtrack a little bit of the history of where we're at here. Excuse me.
It's okay. I know you got a cold. We appreciate you coming in, even though you're cold.
Oh, no worries, sir.
My only concern is don't give it to me. All I ask.
I'll do my best.
That's not good.
No sustained hugs.
Thank you. For a number of different reasons.
So basically, last year, we had an opportunity to go down to Charleston. I was down there as a lobbyist, and I'm doing the same thing this year as well on behalf of mineral owners. And, you know, basically, we work as a team together, myself, Brian, and Scott Sonda. And at this point, we really kind of discovered some of the things. You know, the last year was kind of a learning experience. This year is just more of application this time around.
Define mineral owners for our listeners. What does that mean exactly?
I'll give that one to Brian.
Brian Corwin.
Okay, yeah. Mineral owners are individuals that actually would own the minerals underneath their property. Generally speaking, English common law states that if you own your surface, you own the minerals underneath your feet. I do want to draw a distinction there. The United States is, I don't want to say unique in that, but certainly different than many other countries. In many other countries, the government owns the minerals, and the people do not. But in America, it has always been interpreted that if you own property, you own to the center of the earth. And in many cases, people are still seized in what they would term a fee simple estate, where they own the surface and the minerals together. In many cases, the minerals have been severed. Perhaps maybe not all the minerals have been severed. So that creates...
Severed means what?
Severed from the surface. They may have been reserved years ago, hundreds of years ago.
The rights have been sold to somebody else.
Well, reserved. So let's, for example, in West Virginia and certain counties, Monongalia County especially, oil and gas was very big in Mon County in the early 1900s. And so when people sold their land off, they reserved the minerals. So I sold my land to you, but I reserved the minerals. So then that passes down to my heirs, the mineral estate. So the mineral estate is not always the same as the surface estate.
Okay.
That's who mineral owners are. And like I said, when it comes to Brook and Ohio County, we are very fortunate. For the most part, the people that own the surface do indeed own the minerals.
How do you know that?
If you're uncertain about it, you could have a title search done.
No, but how do you know that that's true?
Just based on experience. Mm-hmm. Just based on experience of, there again, just, seeing leasing activities and things like that. That's based on experience.
I mean, believe me, Scott and Brian, over the last 15 years, any experience that they've gained has been hard earned. I mean, it's attrition. You know, these gentlemen have been in and out of the court system, you know, with the operators for 15 years. And that kind of education is, you know, comes at a cost, you know, money, time, but you gain a lot of experience with it.
Okay, when you say operators, does that mean the owners of the oil and gas companies?
Yeah, we usually refer to them as the oil and gas operators. They basically refer to themselves that way. So.
Okay, but for our listeners, we're talking about the companies that own... That they're in the oil and gas business.
Here. Correct.
Either fracking or pipelining or anything along those lines? Is that what we're talking about here?
Your oil and gas operators would be SWN, Chesapeake. They've now merged and become Expand. Antero, EQT. I'm not 100% familiar with the ones in Ohio. In Pennsylvania, you've got Range Resources, CNX. Those are ones that come to mind. Another one in Monongalia County is Northeast Natural Energy, which is, they're actually a West Virginia company. To my knowledge, they're the only West Virginia company actively drilling in the Marcellus Shale.
Okay.
All the other companies are out-of-state companies.
So what are we talking about in terms of money for the typical listener who has property and still has his or her mineral rights?
Well, at this point in West Virginia, especially in the Northern Panhandle, most of the ground is already leased up. There are, in some instances, a lot of small tracts that in towns and things like that, that the operators have not yet leased. But most of the ground is probably leased up, and it is probably held by production if you're in Brook or Ohio County.
All right. So when you say leased up, that means they're getting the individual property owner is getting some royalties.
They've been paid for lease, and then they are paid royalties pursuant to the terms of that lease.
Ballpark.
If there's a well that produces.
All right. Ballpark. If I own 1 acre in Brook County. What could I realistically expect?
Well, it depends on how fresh the well is.
From what to what?
Yeah, I mean...
Do I get $100? Do I get $1,000? Do I get $10,000 for 1 acre?
I can tell you, if you had flush production and if you had a lease that didn't allow for deductions and if they weren't taking deductions from you, you might have gotten $1,000 an acre a month.
A month?
For the very first couple months, but then that tails off. I mean, at this point, once you get wells that are, let's say, 4 or 5 years old, you're probably looking at $70, $80 an acre, maybe $100, $150 at the most, if they're not taking deductions. The deductions become a huge issue.
So they're offering you not gross revenue, but net revenue after their expenses.
Well, that's the sticky wicky of all of it. That depends on what your lease says. And that's really where this bill comes in. Over the past 25 years, there's been a lot of litigation on what royalty language actually means. In the old days, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, the leases that people signed said you got 12.5% of what is produced, metered, and sold. That's basically all it said. And at some point, the operators began taking deductions from that, deductions for compression, dehydration, transportation, whatever it was they were claiming they had expenses on. And, you know, then at some point, mineral owners took them to court. One of the most notable cases was the case called Wellman in West Virginia. And that is where the state Supreme Court stated that unless the lease specifically allows for them to take deductions, the operator cannot take any deductions from that stated royalty percentage.
My sources tell me, and I don't know if this is true or not, that a lot of these operators are very slimy characters, like kind of like the people you see on Landman. And one of the things that they would do is create different companies, LLCs or whatever, that they would then hire to help defray their to extract the coal or the oil or the gas or whatever. So essentially they were paying themselves because these were their own little companies, and that was a way to screw over the property owners. Is that true?
Well, that certainly has been the case from what has come out through a multitude of different avenues.
My God, I was right.
Well,
I think there was a case here. Was it JB? I can't think of it here. A few years ago, it was JB something there in West Virginia that definitely dealt with essentially sales of the product to an affiliated third party. And years ago when I first got even exposed to oil and gas, I was told by an oil and gas landman. He said, oil and gas is a very slippery business.
Oh, yeah.
And I have found that to be very true.
Oh, yeah. No question. John.
Which coming, basically full circle, that's one of the reasons why Brian and Scott sort of conceived the idea, based on what we learned last year and just basically what's been done to us, over the last, 15 years. And I mean us, I mean everybody in this state, at least in some way, shape, or form. So the bill itself, Bill 1, SB 1005, which is basically a template of Bill 4867. And let me just real quick, just kind of get into that just a little briefly.
Just give us an overview, because we have a commercial break coming up. This bill in the Senate is sponsored by Tom Willis, is that right?
Yes.
And in the House, sponsored by?
Well, it was first introduced into the House by Delegate Jimmy Willis. And I really want to sit here and praise Jimmy Willis's courage for this, because being down there, you hear things, and there's, there is some blowback, with, the certain delegates and senators that decide they want to put their name on a bill that has something to do basically with trying to help mineral owners just be paid correctly. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what this bill is.
So it's Willis and Willis.
The Willis and Willis bill at this point.
That's great.
So I do want to praise Jimmy for that, because that's a courageous stand. Now, unfortunately, the bill was not really moving where it is in the House. It is politics, so, there might be some reasons for that. But, we just can't wait around, for somebody else to decide our, mineral owners' fate.
So you want our listeners to get involved here? You want to put pressure on our delegates and senators, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, very quickly do that, and we take a short break here.
So Senator Tom Willis, his number for his office down at the Senate is 304-357-7867.
One more time.
That's 304-357-7867, and you need to encourage his staff to pass this bill.
And tell him Dimitri sent you. More with our very special guests, Brian Corwin and John Leonetti. Stay tuned.